Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Attention, collectors of vinyl. Have you ever gone into a record store and felt overwhelmed by all the unfamiliar options? Are you frustrated by the constantly increasing prices of classic rock staples? Do you avoid streaming music or long for the days when music was recommended to you by a friend instead of an algorithm? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then check out I'd Buy That for a Dollar, a podcast about inexpensive, common, and underappreciated records that are waiting to be rediscovered. Each week, hosts Sean, Jeremy, and Peter discuss an album and the artist's history. Previous episodes include selections by the Isley Brothers, the Carpenters, the Doobie Brothers, and Donna Summer, among others. Become a bargain bin pro and impress all your friends with cool music trivia. Listen to I'd Buy That for a Dollar wherever you get your podcasts.
Adopt a highway near your land so that the scorned and frail can pass.
John Southworth is a remarkable songwriter, musician, filmmaker, theatrical performer, and author who calls Toronto home. Over the past 25 years, Southworth has established himself as one of the world's most fascinating and intriguing artists, operating in different modes in the service of his songs. His latest album is called Miracle in the Night, which is out in May of 2019 via Tin Angel Records, and John and his band, The South Seas, are doing some touring both ahead of and after its release. I met with John recently at the Skyline Restaurant in Toronto for a chat about our old times together, the experimental work he did with electronic pop music tones on his last record, Small Town Water Tower, the recent death of our mutual friend and his bandmate, Justin Haynes, shooting his latest music video in Guelph, the new album, Miracle in the Night, and much, much more. With the support of listeners like you, who subscribe to this podcast and spread the word about it, and make flexible monthly pledges at patreon.com/creativecontrol, plus in-kind support from CFRU 93.3 FM, Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, this is the 470th episode of Creative Control, featuring the ingenious John Southworth and, for a brief moment, our server Nick, with your host, me, Vish Khanna.
Check out time, now that they've frozen the credit line and they've taken down the sign. Adopt a highway in the flood and make way for the exodus.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm great.
Thank you for having me. And the Skyline Restaurant, which is not your establishment, but you suggested we meet here.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why did you pick this place?
Well, I live about a minute away, so that's one reason.
Yeah, convenient for you.
Yeah, unlike you.
Yeah, I came here from Guelph, and it was fine. But this place seems cool. It's got a kind of a... How would you describe the decor?
It's retrofitted.
Yes.
There's some nice chalked pictures of birds on the walls.
Are those chalked?
Yeah.
Oh, did someone actually drew them in chalk? Look at that. So these are like blackboard walls. That's interesting. Do they change ever?
No, they've been the same birds since I've been here for a couple of years.
Are you a bird person? Do you like birds?
I love birds.
I used to have a budgie.
I think they're really well done, actually. It's better than, you know, it's creative.
Yes, it's very... I wonder if children, when they're here, rub them, you know, rub out the chalk and...
You'd think I'd be tempted to, but nobody has.
It's very fascinating. Anyway, this is nice.
And they play good music.
Yes, they're playing music. People can maybe hear that. Hopefully we don't get in trouble.
Good feeling, you know.
Yeah. No, it's nice. This is how you and I met.
Yeah.
Over an interview over a meal.
Maybe about 10 years ago.
Was it 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow, you remember this. Yeah, I used to have a breakfast show on the CBC, and you were one of the earliest guests.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were good times. So is this a 10-year anniversary for us?
Damn right.
You took me out to dinner?
Yeah.
Now, we haven't ordered yet. I'm hoping that because we're talking on microphones that no one is dissuaded from coming to serve us. What do you normally get here yourself? Do you have a regular...
They just made the music really bad all of a sudden.
What is the music? I'm not even listening.
I don't know.
I'm trying to concentrate on you.
It's a cover of a Buddy Holly song by somebody.
Is it so easy to fall in love with a Buddy Holly song?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it is.
Is it really?
Yeah.
We're going to get sued by everyone. Buddy Holly, whoever this is. Who covered this song? I don't remember. It's like the 80s, right?
This is a medley. They've changed
medley
keys. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, no, let's concentrate on ordering. I'm going to ignore the music. If I had a lawyer, they'd probably tell me to do that. What would you normally order for...
Well, you know, sometimes they make interesting specials, and I normally get the fish specials. But you can look at the specials here, Vish. Look.
Oh, I see. Sorry, I was looking behind me at the chalkboard. So today is technically Fried Chicken Friday. Boneless, skinless chicken thighs served with Cajun potato salad, creamy kale, green beans, and cornbread. That sounds like a lot. Daily fish, blackened salmon with pineapple salsa, 7-grain rice, and that sounds pretty good. I might actually get that. Oh, daily pasta. Are you gonna get the fish?
Not tonight.
No, you're not gonna get the fish tonight. There's also a vegan bowl. You know, I tried going vegan in February.
How did that go?
Went okay. It was kind of a stressful month, and I bailed.
Yeah.
It wasn't. I was vegetarian.
Yeah.
But I couldn't keep up with the vegan.
It's the kind of thing we have to be full time. You don't have any. If you have no work and nothing to do, you could probably do it.
That's fair to say. I did take the time to learn some recipes, and I made some great stuff. But I don't know. It was a stressful time. I just couldn't do everything at the same time. Yeah.
I hear you.
Anyway, yeah. I might. I don't know. Okay. So those are specials. Do you ever get anything that's in the menu?
I sometimes get, you know, the poutine. Like,
oh, is it good?
It's pretty good.
Tuna melt on rye. You can't really
And that's almost vegan.
The poutine. How is it?
You
vegan?
Can get it without the cheese nuggets. It's vegan.
Curds.
The curds. Yeah.
Curds. Okay, but the gravy is vegan. As far as you know, you didn't. You probably or vegetarian. You haven't looked into this.
It's pretty vegan.
Okay.
The gravy.
What does pretty vegan mean to you?
I mean, it's close enough.
Okay, I might either get a tuna melt on rye. That salmon thing sounds good, but it's like $20. And but it also has got everything I want. It's got a little fruit. It's got
yeah, but you
rice.
Don't. You're not drinking, are you?
No, I don't drink.
So there you go.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean that's like the price of a beer is pretty much the price of a meal.
Oh,
so.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, but I thought this was kind of like a classic old school place. I kind of just want to try one of their things here, and I'm thinking the tuna melt with french fries with pickles and 12-year-old cheddar. I mean, how do you go wrong with that?
Just get the vegan gravy poutine dish.
No, I don't want to get that. Do I have to get that just because you suggested the place? I kind of want to get whatever I want. This is how I am. Veggie deluxe burger. Okay, I'm going to figure something out. I'm leaning towards the tuna melt on rye with the 12-year-old cheddar. That sounds good. And french fries, I just feel like having something like that. I just got off the road. I want something kind of comforting.
easy to eat, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, we didn't decide to meet just to have a chat about food. Or did we? Is that why you picked a restaurant?
Well, you know, I like talking about food.
Yeah.
If there's nothing else to talk about.
If there's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, we can talk about food.
We have other stuff to talk about, don't we?
Yeah.
You have a new record coming out.
Well, food might be more interesting than that.
Really?
I don't know.
You don't think your new record is interesting?
Yeah, of course.
It's quite fascinating. What's your new record called?
My new record is called Miracle in the Night.
Miracle in the Night.
Yeah.
Now, I was curious about that title. Lots of night. It's got a nighttime vibe, if I might say. Your
sure.
Record. But what is this Miracle in the Night? What inspired this title, first of all?
Well, there's a song on the record called Miracle in the Night.
Mm-hmm.
I had a title for the record, another one, a different one. And the closer we got to finishing it, I was kind of backtracking on that title. And some people would raise eyebrows when I told them the title, and I was like, I don't know if I should go with that. So I just went with something that felt right in terms of, that really spoke about, like you said, the night.
You're a fan of the nighttime?
I'm not necessarily a fan, but that's what the record is. It feels best listening to.
It does, actually. I've noticed that myself. Do you mind? I don't mean to get into kind of the director's cut commentary, but what was your original title? Was it another song?
No. It was. I don't want to tell you the title because I might use it.
You might still use it.
Yeah,
okay,
I might use it for something else.
It's not reflected in another song title as
all. No,
I'm
not
kidding.
At all.
Okay, it wasn't like that was. Okay. So Miracle in the Night is the title you went with. Does that capture... We've sort of established it's got a nighttime vibe. You operate, I think, in modes, in phases. This is a different phase than maybe your most recent record, which was more... Yeah. I don't know. What would you call it? How would you describe it? More energetic or more pop-oriented?
Oh. More... Well, maybe more subversive.
More subversive. Because this one has a more of a slightly laid back. I feel like this one's also subversive. This one has a spookiness to it.
Yeah, it depends. I guess it depends what you mean by that word. But the previous record was called Small Town Water Tower. It's in a different world altogether.
Hmm. Yeah. How would you distinguish the two? No, this is what I'm getting at. You, I think, occupy with your records, with the modes you operate with the players you choose to play with. Mm-hmm. Given those modes and phases, you operate in different worlds. So what's the distinction between the world of the last record and this one from your perspective?
Well, just musically, on a production level, they're very different. They're opposite records. You know, one was made, the previous record was made with, 808 drum machines and a young kid producer who operates extremely well in MIDI. And
do you want to state the name of that
MIDI
person?
Yeah, Derek Hoffman.
Derek Hoffman, okay.
His middle name is MIDI.
Is it? Where's Derek based?
He's in Toronto too.
Okay, and he has more of a bent towards synthesized tones?
Oh, just the current pop sound.
Right.
At the time, well, and that was something that was revolutionary for me to try and do.
Right.
For various reasons. I wanted to take my song and place it in... What's the name of the radio station in Toronto that's like 92.1 Kiss FM?
Kiss FM might be the... Yeah, maybe. There's Flow and... I
wanted to immerse myself directly into that.
Why is that?
Well, that... I'm going to try to remember my mindset at the time, why.
Yeah, sorry to go back. I'm just trying to think of it because...
For a while, I thought it was completely futile making art records.
Yeah. So you thought you would push your art sensibility into a more of a pop realm.
I wanted to make a more pure democratic record that was just... Some people who didn't know who I was or people who knew who I was, there was... It would... Can you imagine if you know the guy who makes Britney Spears records, Max Martin?
Yeah. I've heard the name. I don't know him.
Well, he's you know, there's a certain way of making pop music now that I thought it would. When I found Derek, I thought, well, this would be an interesting thing to do.
Yeah. Just that's it.
Yeah. It took my song in a whole other to a whole other place.
You're talking about pop music. You're talking about populism. Were you trying to reach a different audience?
Well,
I mean, is that
yes,
always
but
the goal?
But it wasn't necessary. It wasn't that naive.
Okay. You feel like there's an inherent limitation to what?
Well, this is just the style of my song. Like, my style of songwriting is not The Weeknd.
No, it's not.
I wanted it was an experiment to use the tools of 21st century pop, and all those sounds was something that was really exciting.
So, in the end, were you pleased with how it came out?
Completely.
Did it feel it was an experiment? It was different than what you've done in the past. Did it feel foreign to you?
For a while, but that was why I was excited by it. I get off on making music that freaks me out a bit.
Did it change? I saw you. I believe I saw you play a live show behind that record.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tom Gill was in the band and mm-hmm. some other great players. Did it alter your performance stance, so to speak, your persona? Did it alter you, this music, because it was different?
Briefly.
What period did it alter you? When you say briefly, while you were in the zone
for a few weeks.
For a few weeks, yeah. While you were playing shows behind it, you felt like a different person?
Well, you know, I performed, for the first little while, I was performing with a stick bundle on my back. And I toured, when we toured Europe, I performed those songs with it was like a performance art piece, you know, in a way. And the first time I did it was opening for a Veda Hilly show in Toronto. And it went down really well. And it was like about a year where I was really into this. Using very populist sounds, but then presenting it in an extremely, should we say, anti-populist way. So there was this contradiction and weird tension going on that I was very fascinated with that and exploring that. And that was a thing, you know, and I was glad I did it.
What made it anti-populist, though? I'm just trying to clarify this. Did you do those synthesized songs on your own? I mentioned that I saw you with a band.
Anti-populist, I would define by a domino effect of raised eyebrows across continents.
From the audience.
Potentially, or just from people watching a video or listening to the record.
Do you feel like people didn't know what to make of what you were doing?
A little bit.
But isn't that always been the case?
Probably.
I feel like you are entering, if you've not already entered this realm, there are songwriters, your contemporaries, your colleagues, if you will, whether you know them or not, who think John Southworth is like a songwriter's songwriter. That can be a high honor. That can be the kiss of death.
Yeah.
That means in your craft, in your practice, you couldn't be much better. But the albatross is that it means there might be an inherent limitation to how you're going to transcend and reach a wider audience. And it sounds like you've done a little bit. You're great. We've talked many times over the last decade because I think you're one of the finest songwriters I've encountered. So I feel that. Other people you know feel this way.
That's great. What I would say to that is that people can project their own ideas of what they think should be the reaction to things. And everybody has something different to bring to that.
Right.
So all I would say to that is I'm not really that interested. I'm interested. I just feel there's such stagnancy that I don't in general in the culture that I'm just get a kick out of doing whatever I want now.
It's interesting that you use the phrase stagnancy because I feel like it's in hyper flux or it's never, it's just hyper, it's you can't keep up. Like you say, you worked with this fellow and you made contemporary sounds of the time. By the time the record came out, culture had changed. Those sounds might have already been sort of...
I don't think so. Those sounds are still on the radio.
No, I'm just saying, though, like to try to keep up with culture. It doesn't sound like you were trying to keep up with culture. You were just trying to experiment with the last record. So, and I don't mean to dwell too much on the last record. And you're also saying, like, external considerations maybe don't matter to you as much, like, from...
Well, of course they do, but there's not... It matters more... What matters more is making music that I feel excited by.
Right.
That that's far more important.
So you make a record like the last one, which has this contemporary bent to it. You're going into 808 beats. For people who don't know, the 808 drum machine is very...
I didn't even know what it was.
It's a very popular... Yeah. It's particularly in the hip-hop and rap music, it's a very common and steadfast... Like, it's just a stalwart. People always use the 808 drum machine. So you go from that record to this one.
Yeah.
Which is, I would say, wholly different. I mean, it's you. A different group, right?
No, I've worked with the South Seas...
That's your band?
...on five different records.
Okay. Oh,
so
okay.
I return. It's kind of like me. It's like the way Neil Young returns to Crazy Horse every few records.
Yeah.
Can we order something?
Sure.
Yeah. Sorry. I know we've got our microphones here. We're doing a little interview for a podcast, but if you don't mind, do you want to be on it for a second?
It's going out there a billion people.
Well, I don't know about that, but what's?
I'm good. What are you guys discussing?
Well, John's a musician, so we're talking about his new record, Miracle in the Night, which is coming out next month.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. Do you want to introduce yourself? I just so people know who I'm talking to. What's your name?
My name's Nick. I am the waiter at Skyline Diner.
Thank you very much, Nick. We are going to order. I think John's going to order first. He's a regular.
I will order a poutine, please.
Poutine?
Yeah, and another one of these.
Got it.
I was interested in trying. Do you recommend anything at the Skyline?
The burgers are what we're known for.
Really? You're known for your burgers?
Yeah.
Is that a vegan dish?
Yes.
Yeah. It can be. It looks like... Is your veggie burger renowned?
Not to the same extent, but it's good.
I don't know. I think I'm just... I'm going to try... What about your tuna melt?
Tuna melt's good. Yeah.
Can't go wrong with a tuna melt, right? Yeah. I'm going to try the two-piece tuna melt on rye, and I'll have French fries.
Sure.
Maybe do you got like a ginger ale?
Yep.
I'll have one of those. Thanks, Nick. Thank you. Yeah. See, I knew it. They were going to think it was weird. We're talking on a microphone. Normally, we clear all this. We didn't clear it.
Just look like a couple of geeks.
We are nerds, aren't we? Is that because it's mostly me?
No, it's not.
No, it's both of us. Okay. What were we talking about? Oh, the South Seas. This is a band you've taken through different...
Since 2003, I've been working with them.
How long have you been in Toronto again?
Well, since 1983.
83, okay. But sometimes you're in Montreal?
Sometimes, yeah.
But people who are listening might pick up a lilt, an accent.
I was born in England.
Born in England, yeah. I know this. I'm just, other people are listening.
Yeah, yeah.
Born in England, and you've been here since 83. So you've been in, you've been in Toronto since 83?
Mm-hmm.
But back and forth to Montreal every once in a while?
Yeah.
Still doing that?
Still do that.
Okay. So the South Seas band, who is in the band?
Jean Martin on drums. Andrew Downing on bass. The last few years, a piano player called Craig Harley. And then originally, I had two guitar players that, depending on the project, their styles will be working on with it or not. And one is Tom Gill, as we mentioned. And the other is the late Justin Haynes.
Now, Justin and I, we just lost Justin. Justin was someone I knew. Do you want to talk about Justin?
Sure.
A little bit? Yeah. It's fresh situation. So I knew Justin mostly from any time I went to the Transac in Toronto, I'd seem to run into him no matter what was going on.
Well, he was banned from the Transac. That must have been a long time ago.
I think I swear I saw him at the last Michael Hurley show I was at.
Well, then he was breaking his ban.
I saw him and said hello. Okay. The thing with Justin, and I was going to say, so the Transac and the Guelph Jazz Festival are often where I would run into Justin, or shows in Guelph or Toronto. But Justin, I was confused by my relationship with Justin. Because when I saw him, we seemed to get along. We had this, not the history you have, but we had a history, and so we'd say hello. But then I would go on my Facebook, when I used to check Facebook regularly, and there'd just be a very acerbic, aggressive comment by Justin about something. Just innocuous. It didn't seem to matter. It had nothing to do with him. He would just suddenly spew a little bit of hatred towards me, and I didn't understand it. And then the next time I saw him, or later he would like something that it just seemed to change.
Yeah.
This seemed to be the experience. I didn't know this, but this seemed to be the experience for a lot of people. They didn't know what to make of him or what he made of them. Thank you, Nick. Thank you. Is that a common... Did you have this experience with him? Did you have an on and off again sort of relationship?
Well, I don't... I know Justin used Facebook a lot and probably shouldn't have been on there.
Yeah.
Because it probably, drew out a certain side of his personality.
Yeah.
So,
what side of that personality, though?
Well, he was... Jessen liked to be. He was kind of like a truth agent of sorts. I mean, he liked to, if he saw something that thought was needed, saying like it is. That was Justin.
It didn't matter who it alienated or
exactly.
He just said it. And you say he got banned from the Transact?
Yeah.
I didn't know about this. Why would he have been banned from the Transact?
This is a long time ago.
Really?
Now, I'm not sure the details.
Sure.
But he was, I believe he was working there.
Yeah.
The beautiful irony is that his service in Toronto is going to be at the Transact on the 19th of April.
Right? Oh, wow.
Which will be a beautiful, heavy day, I'm sure.
You worked with him. He worked on this. He plays on this record.
He plays on this record. I mean, he plays a little bit on a record called Niagara, and then there's three other records going back to 2003 where he's integral to those records.
What was it like playing with Justin for you?
With Justin?
Yeah, what was it like for you?
Generally speaking, playing music with Justin just raised the intensity of the music by discernible, clear notches. I mean, it was a real difference in the energy of a band.
He was a very gifted guitar player.
Yeah, but specifically for me, he's very gifted in playing and drawing out the spirit of a song and respecting that. That was for me pretty invaluable.
Absolutely. Are there specific examples on the new record where Justin made did he alter the course of a song that you had conceived, or did he do something to a song that sticks out to you as a highlight? Did he play something where you're like, oh, that's exactly what that needed?
Well, I mean, with regards to this last record, and really for most of the records, Justin always had this ability to weirdly complement what I was playing. And then, I'm getting very specific here, he would just change what I was playing or add a tone to it a little bit different. But he kept things pretty simple, but it was a selfish role he was playing a lot of the time. He wouldn't try and be a guitar guy. I don't know if this makes any sense to you, but...
Are you primarily playing guitar?
I'm playing a lot of piano and guitar.
Right.
Mostly piano.
So when you say he compliments what you're doing, it could be on either of those instruments.
Well, he's playing guitar.
No, he is,
guitar.
But on you... He's complimenting you on piano as well as guitar. Okay.
It's almost not really that noticeable, but as a overall sound, it's really powerful.
Right. So, but you say it's selfish.
Selfless.
Oh, selfless. I'm sorry. Okay.
I said selfish, I take that back. Selfless.
Well, I think selfless. Okay. So he viewed himself almost as a utility player in your work.
Yeah. Oh, he viewed himself as in service to, whatever was happening.
Right. Right. So we lost him. Sadly, did you have any sense of where his headspace was at, or? Do you have a sense that this was...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
At a
dramatic last 2 or 3 months. He ended up moving, as people who know Justin, struggling with finding an appropriate housing situation in Toronto.
Yeah.
And that was, he documented that really well. And then he ended up finding a place. It was a block away from me, or just a street away. So, I've been walking by his place every day. You know, that's...
Still, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he was having trouble finding housing, and then something, he just... That's...
Well, we... You know... you know, there's lots to... Lots to speculate.
Okay.
He lived a hard life.
Yeah,
let's put it that way.
He did. Okay. So... And I appreciate you talking about him a little bit. I feel like he's definitely worth talking about.
For sure, and in not just in the context of the music community in Toronto, where his influence and is so expansive. You know, he really is a great part of our community, or was a great part of our community. And for me, you know, his loss is huge, because.
Yeah.
He changed the way I thought about music a couple of times.
Yeah. Yeah, I know he'll be missed. This batch of songs for this latest record. Because you mentioned earlier when I asked about the song, the album title, you said, I might save that for later. You were saying that the original album title, and I wonder, is this a batch of songs that you wrote in sort of one go, so to speak, from beginning to end? Are they leftover ideas? I'm just curious about
that. Yeah, it's pretty much one go.
One go, okay. And do you have a sense of when that was? When did you... Which song was the first one, and maybe when it started?
I like these questions. I guess it started around about the time I was promoting the last one.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so like 2017, late 2016... Most of 2017, I was finishing it, and then we were in the studio in early 2018.
So as you were promoting this, for you anyway, something of a charged up record, a different kind of record, your mind was already in this.
I was already kind of coming down from that last record and going into a completely different place. That's sometimes what happens to me.
Yeah.
Because you have to wait for records to be released. And in that time, you often find yourself, the energy that you have when you're writing that thing is gone, and because a new thing is coming in, and you've got to promote the previous work. It's challenging.
It is strange, right? So you're... Oh, hey, sorry. Yeah, you can just... Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. You can just set that down.
Oh, yes.
He's got the booty. I've got the tuna melt. He's got the...
Oh,
thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate it. Yeah. They were confused about where to put stuff. Well, this looks pretty good. Our food just arrived. Do you have a sense if anything about Miracle in the Night is a reaction? You wrote this new record in the sort of as you were wrapping up promoting the last one. Do you feel like it's a reaction to that experience in any way, or?
Well,
I assume it must have been.
It's always, every record is a reaction to the other in a way. You
yeah.
Because you're like, well, I'm done with that.
But it's a bit of a radical switch.
Yeah, but if you listen to... I mean, not that you should, Ravish, but if you were to go check out all my records, then you'd see this. It's pretty consistent.
You do an oscillation.
A lot of artists are consistent making the same record over and over again. I kind of make a completely different record over and over again. You know, it's just... That's something I... That's a consistent thing.
Is that a personality trait that you exhibit in other aspects of your life, where if you're doing something... for a
no,
while,
I just start to hate what I've done and I get bored with it.
Do you have that? You have a little self-loathing? Why is that?
Well,
what prompts that?
Because you get sick of it.
Well, you have to spend so much time making stuff.
It's just like I want to go somewhere else.
Well, how long did it take you to make the new record? If roughly. You say you started working on it 2017. Or is
not that long. Not that long. It was all done live.
Live off the floor?
Yeah.
Okay, so the actual making of the record... No, I mean the whole thing. Writing the songs.
Oh.
Like, you're saying that took a couple of years, it sounds like.
No, it's like a year and a half.
Okay. So now that it's done, do you have a perspective on where those songs might have come from, mindset, mood-wise?
Yeah, but I don't think it's that important.
Why not?
I mean, for me, it's just what came out of that period that I wrote it in. It was a personal. There are personal things that a lot of singer-songwriters are like, well, I was going through this thing and these songs came out. And I'm like, I don't want to know about that. I just care about your song.
You don't want to know about that,
no,
eh?
I don't want to know.
But that's kind of the nature of, what purpose do you think a conversation like this has?
It's not important.
But what do you think we should be talking about? Huh? What should we be talking about if not the sort of origin of your... Because I hear what you're saying, and I go through this struggle sometimes, and I talk about it rather openly.
Well, I'm just being reactionary to that process, because I just find it like it doesn't make any difference. It was the work that came out could have come out through 20 different reasons, through 20 different life scenarios. But it doesn't matter what the life scenario is.
Okay, it doesn't matter what the life scenario is. But do you see, from your own perspective, with whatever you're willing to divulge, do you see running themes? Do you see a through line between these songs about...
Yeah, I mean, I was... Sometimes I feel like this is going to be my last record. I often feel like that when I'm making a record. I'm like, well, what if this is my last record?
You've felt this before.
Yeah, I have.
It's a recurring feeling.
Yeah.
Okay.
And for this time, I was like, well, I just got to... What am I going to... What is a song going to be? And I mean, what... As you get older, I guess it becomes strange. The only thing I was really thinking about was, well, maybe I could try and write some hymns.
Hymns?
Yeah, or like some kind of prayer. Or
prayer?
I mean, that was all that made sense to me.
Like when I hear the song Adopt a Highway, I think of it as vaguely droll. That's a sign we all see sometimes, but... For example, that song. What were you kind of, if you will, going for? What were you trying to address?
I mean, it's a hymn to me.
It's a hymn for what?
Yeah. It is for solace. For it's medicinal.
Medicinal.
Yeah.
In what sense? I'm just curious if you could expand upon that.
Well, that song is about, you know, there's some Christian values in that song.
Are you a religious person?
I'm not Christian, but yeah, I'm religious.
Yeah, you practice something else, or are you spiritual? There's a distinction to be made there.
I don't think there's anything distinct about that.
You don't think there's a distinction between spirituality and religion?
I may not have an organized religion. You know, I don't want to get into that discussion right now. But
no, you don't. Okay.
But you know, the song is... I mean, maybe it didn't work. Maybe I failed if you don't see it that way. But
no, I'm asking you. It's not how I see it necessarily. To be honest, the record is so fresh and new.
I mean, when I say write a hymn, I mean, I'm not going to be bashing people over the head with it.
No, I don't think you are either. No.
Okay.
That's why I'm curious about it, because you don't seem like someone who would proselytize, per se, to me. Mm-hmm. But maybe I've missed some things.
There's some grace and true brotherhood in that song, you know. So, without getting too heavy, as I'm holding a chip in my hand here.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, these were the ideas and things that I was feeling at the time when I was writing it.
That's just made sense.
Yeah.
South Sea's band has been through a lot with you in terms of sonic exploration. Do you give them direction? Do you say, here's how what I'm thinking of? Do you give them demos? Like, what? How does that...
No.
It's live in there. Good, Nick. Thank you. Thank you.
We don't do any demos. We don't do any rehearsing. These guys are pretty good, so we just play the song. What you're hearing is normally the first or second time we play the song.
Really? That's phenomenal. Because there's a real cohesion to this record. I mean, that makes sense, too, given... I'm sure you did it all in a few days or something? Two or three days, right. Okay, so you give them no direction. Do you have a sense of how that sound came about for this record? I mean, beyond the fact that you hired
This is the first record where I didn't add any other instruments, so there's no overdubs. There is a cello overdub on one of the songs, but... So what you hear is what happened. I've never done that before. I'm always had a producer instinct in me to... On my other records, I'll add a harmony or some other music part. This is the first time I left it alone. And
And Craig, the piano player on some of the songs, brought a pump organ by chance. And I love
featured
the sound.
On Adopt a Highway.
I love the sound of it, yeah. And he played a lot of it on the record. So there's, it's like, you know, it's a show, really. So I didn't want to muck about. And then when we were mixing the record, we tried to make it sound just like a monochromatic one sounding like a string quartet. And you know, that was exciting for me, not to think about, oh, I have to arrange this or I have to produce, add anything to this. So that was a different experience for me. So
well, I think it's telling too that you went from a rather lushly produced thing to a sparse thing. And I guess what I'm wondering, you've talked about how you don't really want to get into your mindset about the song lyrics or content per se, but what about that? What about on an aesthetic level, the choice to go from a populous sound to something more sparse, something more that could happen without even amplification, it feels like to me. Yeah. What about that choice?
Well, I'll tell you what, the when I was working with Derek on the MIDI record, you know, like I was gonna record with the South Seas on that record,
yeah,
and then it didn't happen. So sometimes you want to go. We've already kind of talked about this in a way, but you know, that was purely an electronic record, you know, in a certain way. You know, there was some. No, there was all electronic instruments. So there was some electric guitars.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff,
yeah.
I didn't really think about it. It just ended up being the next one was acoustic. All of a
you
sudden.
Don't think about it. It's not something
not
you
not too much.
But you, it's. I'm just wrapping my head around this. You knew, you were kind of sick of what you had been doing with the last record. And,
well, I wasn't sick. I mean, I'm sick of what I've been doing all the time.
Right. You're sick of the last thing, and
I'll get sick of this one at some point.
Are you sick of the interview?
I'm
you getting
not
hungry?
Yet.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah, no, we don't have much longer to go. I think we can soldier on. All right. No, I'm just curious. All I wonder about when I ask these questions about mindsets and decisions is just if it's speaking to something bigger picture for you, something beyond yourself, something about the culture.
The songs I write, I feel could be produced in 10, 15 different ways, but the songs are the songs.
Exactly, that's right.
And I think that's really what is at the heart of it, is that, you know, people get hung up on production a little too much.
You think so?
Well.
What, musicians or listeners?
I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm always wanting people to present their songs differently, because, you know, I can hear you can hear a song. People are so song sick. In my opinion, like, they're so overburdened with song,
yeah,
that they're I feel like innately they're ready for to be hear it presented in different ways.
So you're gonna tour behind this record, you're gonna play some shows behind this record,
yeah.
Do you dip throughout your catalog in this configuration with this sound? Do you play songs from the last record that were all MIDI, but
yeah,
in this tone?
Totally.
So that speaks to what you're saying. The song is the song.
Yeah.
The production, the players even, that's
all,
not secondary, but it's like not as integral as the
it's
song.
It's just a songwriter's insight. Just right. Like, well, I, you know, I wrote this on the piano. It's just, it ended up with a bunch of synths and an 808.
Right.
It's really a piano song.
It's exactly right. So you can, that's healthy and normal. I mean, a lot of people, you mentioned Neil Young earlier, and I think he's one of the people that does, and Dylan, like these kinds of people, or Will Oldham, they tend to take their songs, the songs tend to guide them where they're going to go.
Yeah.
On some level. The song, they finish the song and then it tells them what
it's
going to be.
And it's a moment thing, like these things just happen and I really don't fuss about it too much.
You seem like you're not. You don't. I appreciate that. Okay, so you're through this process of this record. You're about to release it as we're speaking. Have you mentally moved on? Have you moved on to the next batch of songs?
Not quite.
Not that.
Yeah, I'm working on another thing, though.
It's not the last record.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you have a sense, are you already feeling it as whatever you're working on, it's germinating, I assume. Is it a reaction to this?
No.
No. Continuation?
Yeah, maybe.
more like this, maybe.
No, it'll be completely different.
Completely different.
But it'll be like small. In my mind, small town water tower.
Yeah.
Miracle in the Night is a continuation of Small Town Water Tower. As was Small Town Water Tower continuation of Niagara.
Right.
There's same. The lyrically, there's the same themes going on. It's just presented in a different. It's a period, different period piece, movie context, genre. You know, it's just like. You know, like I think of Stanley Kubrick when I think about these things.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to get too. I don't want to drop the bomb there, but.
There's a video for one of the songs on the new album that you released a while ago now, I believe, right?
Yeah.
What song is it again?
Which one?
It's the intermission song, I believe.
I haven't released it yet.
Oh, no. Is it No Intermission?
No Intermission. We're waiting for it to come out.
Oh, okay. Oh, the video is not out yet.
Yeah.
Oh, I've just happened. Sorry.
I sent it to you.
You sent it to me, so
because
I've
I'm like, you should check this out,
right.
Because. Yeah. All of Guelph is in this video.
Right, except for me. I didn't respond to your
Maybe
call.
Maybe you are in it.
Am I?
Somewhere.
I don't think so. So you have a song called No Intermission. Intermission. Intermission, not intermission.
Yeah.
No Intermission. And that video, do you have a hand in the video making? Like, do you?
I produce and direct my videos.
So you have are you an actor generally?
No, I mean, I occasionally do acting on the side, but I went to film school before music kind of took over. I was a film student.
Do they inform each other, these impulses? Like, well, obviously, a music video is the clearest example of the worlds colliding. But.
Yeah, the trouble is, as when I make my own videos, I tend to go full out, like, full-on ambitious filmmaker, and I really should just do what most people do is do, you know, make it, do videos. But
right.
I'm trying to make films.
You did make a film.
Yeah.
With that one. What do you want to say about that video, just for the sake of saying something?
Well, I mean... there was a lot of synchronicity going on at the time of making that video. So things would happen that would reflect another thing that was going to happen. And we ended up, we ended up in the Legion Hall of Fergus, Ontario.
Right.
And I'm with Andy, who's McGoffin, who was a producer, and I put him into a kind of a monk's outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were at a pool table. And we saw this. I remember now. We saw this wall of photos of previous Legion Hall presidents, and I saw this one guy's face of a photo. I said, "Look at that guy's face. It's crazy. It was so weird looking. His face. It, his eyes were like sea blue bright."
Okay.
And then, literally a minute later, I turn around, and there he is. 20 years later, he's hanging out.
Oh wow.
And that turned out to be the lead of the video, because then we, shoot, it was a couple of months later. It took like a while to make this video, longer than the record.
Right.
And I said, let's find out who this guy was. I want to put him in a movie house.
Yeah.
In Elora.
Yeah.
And make him my lead. And he turned out this guy was, his name was Kuhn. He was 75 years old with a hearing aid, and he'd been a pig farmer his whole life.
Right.
He had no idea who I was, what he was doing, why he was in this video. You know, he was happy to get $100, basically, and do what he had to do. But he had an amazing face. And yeah. Anyway, people will see it.
People will see it. So you have a lot of non-actors trying to act, which creates a stilted kind of quality to the living life. Like, a lot of posing in the video, like just a lot of staring. And you can see that discomfort of a non-actor a little bit, which I actually gives it, again, you mentioned Kubrick, I think of David Lynch, these people who kind of looking for that little bit of authenticity and realness.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm for me, doing this kind of thing is very exciting.
Yeah.
And just like the music part.
Yeah.
And so a lot of work goes into these things, knowing that there are a billion videos out there.
Yeah.
But it doesn't faze me.
Okay.
For me, the video was very important.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot goes on.
I agree. Okay, well, we should eat our food. It's getting cold.
Okay.
And a lot of it has cheese and melted stuff on it. But the new record, Miracle of the Night, is out on Tin Angel Records.
That's right. May 3rd.
May 3rd. And when can people...
There may be vinyl copies at the show next week.
In Guelph,
yeah.
As we're speaking. Okay, cool.
They arrived. They're being sent on next week.
So. Nice. Amazing. So where can people go to learn more about this record? And do you have shows beyond the Guelph?
Yeah, there's Guelph next at the Kazoo Fest next April the 12th, Friday. After that, in Toronto at the Imperial Pub, May 4th. We're playing another big festival in the Guelph area. I can't quite mention that.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
And then there's a Perry Sound Festival, Festival of Sound, in August. And then there's a private concert in the Ottawa area. I don't know if you know about that. You wouldn't be able to come to that.
Okay.
There's a couple other things with the Art of Time Ensemble in July. And then Europe in September.
Nice. And where can people go to learn more about you and these things on the internet?
MyName.ca, JohnSouthworth.ca.
Okay, all right. Is there a song from the new album that we can go out on? Is there something you would pick?
Well, let's go in with No Intermission.
Okay. Anything more you want to say about it? I think we talked about it at the video.
Dedicate this one to Justin.
That's a good call. Okay. John, thank you for your time, and it's nice to be here with you, and I wish you the best of luck with everything.
Thank you all, as always, Vish. Thank you.
Special thanks again to John Southworth and all of the patrons and servers at the Skyline Restaurant in Toronto for being on this, the 470th episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available on all iOS and Android platforms.
and lots of other things as well. You can find the show just about anywhere. If you can't find a particular episode that you're looking for, or if you want to learn more about me and sign up for my regularly scheduled newsletter, please visit my website, vishkhanna.com. You can also like Creative Control on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at vishcreative, or follow me directly at vishkhanna. You can also listen to a radio show version of Creative Control on Wednesdays at noon Eastern Standard Time around the world at CFRU.ca or on an actual radio at 93.3 FM if you're in or near Guelph. Also, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to keep this podcast going. Thanks again to Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, Planet Bean Coffee, and Granddad's Donuts for their in-kind support for this show. Thanks as well to my friend Jim Guthrie for letting me use the instrumental version of The Rest Is Yet to Come to end this show each week. And finally, last but not least, thank you. Thank you for listening to this show, subscribing to the podcast, and telling your friends about it. It means the world, and it helps keep the show going. So thank you for that. And that's all I have to say. I will talk to you very soon. Bye for now.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.